Good afternoon, Chef Bloemfontein. It's such a privilege to be with you guys again back in Bloemfontein. And I tell people down in Graafrenet that we were actually here for a holiday 2 weeks ago. Not a lot of people that have a holiday in Bloemfontein, but we had it. And I trust and I hear that you guys had a wonderful time in God's presence last week with Dewald and his team. And my expectation in my heart is that God will just continue to move like he moved last week through his scripture. And today I want to talk about whose voice are leading you. Whose voice are leading you? Or is leading you? Is leading you. You still have to do some language training for Graafrenet's pastor. But it struck me again this week that as things get busy on our side, packing and organizing and all the rest, I know you guys in the city, you are normally busier, but it's not, you're not exclusive. We there in the Platteland also get busy from time to time. And in that busyness, don't you all get, you kind of get sucked into it. You don't want to be as busy, but then all of a sudden you're now this busy. And on top of the busyness, there's always these voices driving you. Is that not true? Whether it's your boss or whether it's the school or your kids or the friends or the media or even the church. There's always in this busyness voices driving you to do more, to be on time. And I just realized that from time to time, normally, the one that shouts the loudest or pay the most money is the one that wins. It's scary, but the one that keeps on nagging, that's the one that eventually wins. But the one that pays the most money, normally the boss wins and you've got to stay over time or whatever. And it just adds to our busyness. And this morning the question is, should this voice be winning in my mind? Should this be the voice that win the conversation, or whose voice is actually leading me and leading you? So let's dig into the Word and see if we can find some answers as to whose voice is leading you. And I want to read to you from John chapter 10. We're going to read the first 21 verses, John chapter 10, verse 1 to 21. It's a bit long, but it might help with my English, so let me read proper English and then I can just use it in my message. So, in verse 1, Jesus starts saying, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up by some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore there is a division again among the Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? And others said, These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Just up to there. So may I give you some info just about shepherds and sheep. Because the crowd who listened to Jesus back in the day, they knew this story. They could picture what's happening here. Because they knew sheep and they knew shepherds or were related to shepherds. And so they understood the shepherd, yet the story, although they said there in verse 6 that we're not sure what you're talking about. But we often nowadays understand one part of the story, or one part of the stories about sheep and shepherds, because of our culture and the time we are living in. And maybe the Bible you read or read as a little kid, that picture of Jesus dressed in white with the lamb on his neck and the staff. Anyone ever saw that picture or read it? That's the shepherd with the sheep. Now, I grew up on a sheep farm, so I'm a modern day shepherd. And Jesus spoke about these shepherds, and I know there are differences between those shepherds and myself and the modern day shepherds. And for example, we chase or drive our sheep. We chase them to the next camp or chase them where we want them to go. So we drive the sheep. And sometimes we use border collie sheepdogs. You all know sheepdogs and even kelpies. We use dogs or ourselves, we go and we drive them. In Israel, they used to call their sheep and lead them. So we drive them and they were led. A little bit of a difference. So the shepherd would go in front. He was seeking pasture. He was looking out for danger. He was taking the sheep to where they were supposed to be going. Nowadays, we chase them to where they must go. Hopefully, there's no danger in the way. There's not as many lions running around nowadays, I guess. Now, one other difference is they knew each sheep by name. And I tried to think that, yes, Lord, but they had less sheep than we have. But that's not the thing. The thing is they spend more time with their sheep than I do. Because I've got other things that I also do. And that's the difference. They spend a lot of time. We also know our sheep. I also know my flock, but not as well as these guys did. So the two differences mainly to me is that the shepherd back then led the sheep. He didn't drive them. And he knew each one of them by name. They didn't have ear tags back in the day with a number or something on it. So the picture of Jesus dressed in white with the lamb on his shoulder, caring for this lamb, that's one side of the picture. That's one side of the shepherd. We are going to talk about that side of the shepherd, but I think you are all familiar with that side of the shepherd. If I talk about the shepherd, you think about someone caring for the flock, taking care of the individual sheep. But there is another side to this picture. There's another side of shepherds that you might not know. And that's a more dangerous side. That's a side where they actually have to defend with that same staff. They have to defend the sheep against the wolves, against the dogs, against the lions, against the bears. Some were lucky like David, they had a slingshot, but most had their staff and their bare hands. So, when the shepherd had to step out and protect the sheep from wolves and stuff like that, he was putting his life on the line. If you don't believe me, go to the zoo, step into one of the cages of the lions or the tigers or anything with a shepherd's staff. I'm sure you can buy one from BKB or CMW. And then next week we can talk about this again and maybe see whether or not the shepherd risks or risked his own life in that situation. So he did this, taking on these predators at the risk of losing his own life. So why do you need a tough shepherd who both leads and defends the sheep? And the answer we find in the sheep. Because sheep are mainly two things. One is vulnerable, and two is stupid. So, I farmed with goats and sheep, and sheep are some of the dumbest animals on this planet. They just don't think for themselves at all. There's no sheep farmers around, they can keep me accountable. Okay, but there's a video running, so not just you in the video can keep me accountable. But sheep are not the cleverest animals. Because they are dumb and vulnerable, they need a shepherd who can take care of them, lead them, say watch out for this, but also stand in the gap and see the enemy coming and step out and protect the sheep. And with this little bit of background, let's now go back to John chapter 10 and whose voice is leading you. Because my life and yours depends on the voice I'm following. The voice of the one who's leading me, my life is in his hand. The sheep needs to trust the shepherd that he will actually kill the wolves that are coming for them. Likewise, I need to put my trust in the true shepherd, in Jesus. And in the first part, in verses 1 to 6, Jesus makes a comment to differentiate between the true shepherd and the thieves. And the way he does this is by, how did they enter the sheepfold? How did they get on the inside? There's guys that wants to jump the wall or jump the fence or get in by hook or by crook. And then there's the true shepherd who enters through the door. Verse 3 says the watchman sees him and they open the door and he comes in. So when the sheep hears the voice, there's also a different reaction. When they hear the voice of the stranger, they are terrified and run around. When they hear the voice of the shepherd, they follow him. And in verse 8, Jesus makes this comment, all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And then Jesus goes on and to say that I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be safe. So this first bit of John 10 is giving us the picture of sheep. And he's saying, well, there is false shepherds. And they get in somehow. And when that happens, go and stand still. And we will get to that later. But listen to the voices and whose voice is still leading me? Is that that familiar sound, the voice of the shepherd I know? Or is it one of these driving voices that are driving me and forcing me into whatever the voice wants you to do? So Jesus is actually addressing something else in John chapter 10, which you can read in John chapter 9. He's actually talking about the intimidating and accusing voices of the religious crowd. Because in John chapter 9, we read about a blind man whom Jesus healed on the Sabbath. And there was this argument going on about the fact that, it's a sin to do something on a Sunday. You can't work on a Sunday. So surely this miracle is not of God, because Jesus would have known that you cannot work on a Sunday. And then they had this big argument that it's not ticking their boxes. And then they started intimidating the blind guy who can now see. And they drive him into a corner, and how can you see? Who healed you? How did he heal you? And he told them over and over, and at the end he said, do you want to become his disciple as well? And then they did a strange thing. They actually cast him out of the temple. Out of the synagogue. There you go. You unlawless or unlawful, sinful man. You're a sinner. You were born in sin. How dare you accuse us? So this man got a bit more than just the intimidation and the accusing voices. He actually got thrown out of the temple, out of the place where he can come and worship God. And then Jesus joins the scene in chapter 9, verse 35. And he says to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And the man replies, sir, can you tell me who he is, so that I can believe? And Jesus says, it's both him that's speaking to you and who you are seeing. It's me. And the guy started worshiping Jesus. And the Pharisees didn't like what they were seeing. So they arrived, and then Jesus tells us the story in John chapter 10. And he compares himself to the true shepherd. I am the true shepherd. And these guys that came before me that were supposed to be shepherds, they are hirelings. And when the wolves come and when the stuff happens, they run. I came that I can lay down my life. So I want to lay down my life for my sheep. Because these are the sheep my Father gave me. We are all my Father's sheep. And he gave me this command that I must come and lay down my life. And I realized as I read this story of the true shepherd and the hirelings, then that and this idea that there's a voice that's actually leading me somewhere, but I have to fight these voices that are driving me most of the time in different directions. And even in church, we can be driven by the right things, yet not led by the right one. Should I say that again?
Yeah.
In church, we can be driven by the right things, yet not led by the right one. The guys in chapter 9, you can go read it at home. This is exactly what they did. But yes, the right things, Jesus. 617 right things, if I remember correctly, which you should do in order to be this and that. And Jesus says, but that's led by you. That's your law. That's not what my Father called you to do. This is not what I'm telling you to do. So we can be driven by the right things. And that's a scary thought, isn't it? That inside the church, among us, we can drive each other with stuff that God would prefer us maybe not to do. And that's why it's important that we, in our road of discipleship, get to that place where it is about Jesus And it's about knowing Jesus. It's about getting into this word, and it's about knowing his word. It's not about me or some other great guy who can come and stand here and we get this auditorium filled to the brink 5 times on a Sunday and it's awesome. That's not discipleship. Discipleship is this principle where I can discern, am I being driven in the wrong direction or am I being led by the Son of God? And from verse 11, Jesus actually changes gears and he says, I'm the good shepherd. And the second part, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now, I was sometimes in some risky situations and circumstances regarding my sheep. But I was not at that place where I was willing to actually give my life for them. But I took a lot of uncomfortable stuff. One day I nearly froze to death when there was a snowstorm coming and we had to get the sheep out. But Jesus says, yeah, that's why I'm saying he's changing gears. He says, that's not good enough. I'm willing to give my life for my sheep. Are you willing to give your life for your sheep? The good shepherd goes on in verse 12 and he says, the hireling, I want to read it to you, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Sure. Now, this obviously upset the Pharisees, and stuff like this is which led to Jesus' death. But up to this day, there's this warning that, guys, we must stay in check and we must glorify the true shepherd. I know now that I'm the shepherd of the flock and I'm delegated, I get that, but we must and I must still follow the true shepherd. That's what we are all here about. That's why we are the body. We keep one another accountable to the true shepherd, not to the shepherd that stands here. Not to the hireling that will flee when danger comes. And it's interesting that this week, just one more thing I want to mention, and it actually says it here, that the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. And I feel, in a sense, where the church, the bigger church is at the moment, we're a lot like in this position, where we feel a little bit scattered, we feel a little bit that we're not sure, maybe the wolves got some of us. We hope they didn't, but it might be, because I haven't seen them for a while. And we as a church, we've lost some of these drivenness because we cannot do it. All the bells and whistles are gone. They're replaced with masks and distancing and all regulations and stuff. And all of a sudden, I'm on this island on my own, and Jesus, I just long for your voice. I just long for that voice of comfort, that voice of Luke chapter 4 that will heal my brokenness, that will bend down and pick me up and put me on his shoulders. I need that leading, Jesus. We all need that leading. Your church needs that leading. And it's interesting that Dewald and Gerda shared a dream. I believe it's from one of the intercessors in Joburg. And it's about sheep that were in a kraal, or a pen, little camp, with black dogs barking at the sheep on the outside. And when I got this earlier this week, I wasn't sure, Lord, why John 10? Why must I share from John 10? Apart from the fact that I know a little bit about sheep, but... And then, as I shared this, my wife and I spoke about it, and we were reminded of a dream my eldest daughter, Yana, had. couple of weeks ago. It's not similar, but it also had dogs in it. And we thought, and we tried to show Jana that God can speak through dreams. God can reveal something to you through a dream. But she's 8 years old, so now it's this moment where we want to show her that sometimes God points us back to Scripture, or in this dream He warns us about something, or He encourages us to do something. So the Scripture we got, and we first took it to Philippians 3 verse 2. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. Now Paul here is comparing the Jewish Christians, to be specific, the Judaizers of the day. They were Christians, but they still believed in religion. The big Jewish religion that you can be a Christian, but you must still follow the Jewish law and practices. And Paul goes and he uses a term that's been used by the Jews for Gentiles to describe them. So he's describing Jewish Christians, so to speak, as dogs. You are dogs. And dogs is then, you can say it's for false teachers or defiled or unholy. That's the context Paul is using it in. And then we also got Psalm 22 verse 16, for dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. And yet David is prophesying about the crucifixion, but he's pointing out the intimidation. Do you remember that I told you about the sheepdog, the border collies? Do you know how they work with the sheep? Anyone? No one?
Drive them by fear.
They drive them by fear. They intimidate them. So you'll see, I had border collies back in the day. They will make eye contact with the sheep and watch the sheep closely and force them to do what they want, because the sheep are afraid of the dog. So it is fear that's driving them. But like in Psalm 22, as they're surrounding Jesus, which makes you think of a border collie running around the sheep, the enemy, the crowd, the congregation of the wicked, they were intimidating Jesus in that place. So if we read John 10, and we hear the dream about dogs intimidating the sheepfold, we read in John that if the wolves do get in, and if dogs, they tame wolves, if they get in, they will bite and kill and hurt and injure the sheep. And I want to add this, maybe just as a disclosure, I love dogs. I personally love dogs. I have a dog. I had border collies. And so what I'm going to say now is not in that context, but I'm a shepherd, like I said to you. And from time to time, unfortunately, I also experienced and saw our dogs were killing my sheep. And those dogs I had to kill. Now this much I can tell you with confidence today. The dogs are running around scattering the sheep, killing the sheep, until you kill the first dog. Then they scatter. When the true shepherd arrives and we allow him in our midst, the dogs scatter. The sheep can try and stand up to the dogs. The sheep can try and they stamp their little hooves when they see dogs, and they try and be as intimidating as they can be. Genuine, it happens. But it doesn't work. But as soon as I arrive, as soon as the shepherd arrives, all of a sudden everything changes. And the dogs start scattering, the sheep, they just stand there bewildered. Now the good news today and the good news this afternoon is that there is good news. The gospel is the good news. Jesus is our shepherd. He is no hireling. He's not a guy that stands there and if the trouble comes, he runs. He's not the guy that stands there and say, "Ach, injure them, we'll fix them later." That's not the way shepherds work. Yes, we can doctor them later, but we rather avoid them being injured. And Jesus is the shepherd that said, "I will come and I will lay down my life. Because I came to face the dogs, the lions, the roaring lion that's running around injured, devouring all he can get, who came to steal and kill. I came to overcome him. I overcame him on the cross." Amen. "And I did not lose my life. I laid it down. It was my choice. And for you and me and anyone who wants to hear his voice this afternoon, there's an invitation. I am the door. If you enter through me, you can come into the sheepfold, and I am the true shepherd. I will lead you to green pastures. I will lead you to waters of rest." Psalm 23. Sheep, they don't drink from a running river. They just don't. You need to take them to quiet waters where it's safe. You need to take them to green pastures where they can feed. You need to direct them and lead them away from dangers. They'll just fall off a cliff. And everyone will follow the first one. That's how they are hardwired. That's how we are hardwired. But Jesus paid with his life for us so that you and I can be part of his flock. And that Jesus can, in that place, feed us, take care of us, but also look after us and protect us. And as soon as we jump the fence or do our own thing or allow these dogs inside among us, we get into trouble. And Jesus was saying and warning that this can come, but the good news is, I am the true shepherd. Now, in closing this afternoon, I believe that God will not only reveal the dogs to us, he will also cast them out. Jesus will not show you something that's impossible to get rid of. And the point of him speaking about this and telling the guys that, listen, what you've been experiencing and what you've been through and living in 2020, which I don't even refer to as a year, I saw that and I saw what you went through and I know it. And I can see the intimidation. I can see that the enemy just wants to intimidate you to isolate yourself, to get away from fellow believers, to go into hiding, to go do your own thing. But I'm calling you to the sheepfold. And he goes on and he tells him in verse 16 that, guys, there's other sheep I have also, because he's now addressing the Jews here. They weren't thinking about us, but he was. He was thinking about Bloemfontein 2021, 7th of March. I have sheep that is not of this fold. They're not of this fold, but I want to call them also. So I'm the shepherd. And today for each one of us, I want to give an opportunity that we just set this right again. That we just quietly, the worship team included, quietly, we all sit and we just, before God, come with our heart and be honest today. Whose voice is leading you? And where are they? There might be some areas in your life where you realize, but there is a different voice right there. And I realize it now. So I would like to close in prayer for us.